3. But it's been a little bit of time here, amen. We had some preaching time, some downtime, and some time where we didn't have truth trackers. So, James chapter 3, and when you find your place, would you stand with me if you're physically able? Out of respect to the wonderful Word of God, aren't you glad for the Bible? Well, I'll tell you, I was thinking about the message on Sunday night, and the only way I know that God cares is by what He told me. He told me that He cares. Amen. And that's His Bible, His Word. Amen. And I hope you read it every day, and not only every day, but maybe every afternoon and every night too. Amen. And somebody said that a Bible that's falling apart usually means the person that owns it isn't falling apart. Amen. And I like that. Praise the Lord. James chapter 3. And let's look, if we could, at verses 2 through 4. And these will be our verses tonight. Since there's just three verses, let's read them together. James chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 2. Ready? Begin. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Father, bless your word to our hearts now. May you draw us closer through truth. And Lord, help us to be more like Christ because of what we learned tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our introduction there, you have your outline. We have a note here. In James chapter 3, the Holy Spirit shifts, and this is a bit of review, just going from chapter 2 to chapter 3. The Holy Spirit shifts from works to words. Okay? Chapter 2, of course, the great discourse on faith and works. And listen, if you have faith and absolutely no works, you know what James said? You don't have faith. You didn't get any real faith there, okay? Faith should be accompanied by works. An orange tree produces oranges, amen? An apple tree produces apples, amen? I almost said a grape tree, but it's not a grape tree. Grapevine, amen? Well, what he's saying there is, it's simple. If you say you have the tree of faith, there ought to be the fruit of works falling off it, amen? And praise the Lord. But here, he shifts to words in James chapter 3. So in James 3:2, we learned about the perfect man. This is the review of our last lesson. We learned three bullet points here. We learned the sad truth. What's the sad truth? Well, it's found in the beginning of verse 2. It says, for in many things we offend all. Bad news, folks. You're a sinner and you will be all your life. Sorry, amen. Sorry, that doesn't mean you get to go out and do what you want. It just means that there are sins we commit without even knowing them, amen, because we are sinners, okay? So that's a sad truth there. By the way, I was on the web last night, and someone was trying to debate the fact that they have never sinned. They say, I don't need a Savior, I've never sinned. And I wrote back to him, I said, well, I think your self-assessment is probably correct, because 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Amen? And because we're all sinners. So that's a sad truth. Second, we learn about the spiritual tongue. In verse 2, it says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Now that word perfect, we've talked about that. It is the word mature. It's the mature person that says, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I'm going to offend in some things, but I can control what I say. Amen? is the spiritual tongue. So then we have the sad truth, the spiritual tongue, and we have the sage teaching. The sage teaching is found at the end of verse 2, and we're really going to deal with that in part of our lesson today. It says, and is able also to bridle the whole body. 3 points today, Roman numerals number 1, 2, and 3. Roman numeral number 1 is the control of the body. The control of the body, found there at the end of verse 2. It says, if any man offend not in word, okay, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So what controls the whole body here? Okay, well, the word bridle used there in verse 2, and it's only used one other time. If you want to look back, probably just a page in your Bible at James 1:26. It says there, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Same word there, and I am not even going to try to pronounce that Greek word. It is huge. I tried about 5-6 times today, and I just said, you know what? Everybody knows I'm not Greek, I'm Polish, and so they'll be fine with it, amen. The word bridle is translated from that Greek word that we have listed there, and it's only found twice in your King James Bible, and it means to be a bit leader, and of course we're going to deal with that in the next point, to be a bit leader, i.e. to curb, blank line there, to curb or bridle, okay, to bridle. The man who controls his tongue will control his entire being. One of the great privileges I have in training my children, and it's wonderful to see these things, and I can't wait until they get a little bit older. I can wait, actually, because I know what Brother Earl Wedge used to always tell me. Spend time with those boys, Pastor. He said, because before you know it, they're going to be all grown up and planning open houses, right, Linda? Amen. And getting married and all those other things coming around the bend. But one of the great things I've been teaching them, and it's a constant teaching, reinforcing, attitude leads to actions. Good attitude, good actions. Bad attitude, bad actions. Why is it that Luke they'll be playing and Eric will do something and Luke will just haul off and whack his brother? Why? Because he's got a bad attitude. Amen. God shows us the same here. He says this little member that we have, the tongue, if we can bridle that, we can be a mature person. We can be a mature. By the way, easier said than done, and all God's people said, amen. We're going to study the rest of the chapter too. Amen. I heard a fella, and somebody asked him, he said, do you and your wife ever get your words crossed? You ever have cross words? They said, oh no, our words fly so fast they never have time to cross. Amen. And it can be like that. Amen. But here we have the control of the body. Secondly, God gives us an illustration of the control of the beasts. Okay, so not only the control of the body, the control of the beasts. Where did we find that? Chapter 3, verse number 3. Look at it with me. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths. Now, we've got some farmers here. You know this verse. Makes sense. Amen. And it says, that they may obey us, and that we turn about their whole body. Now, I don't know what a horse weighs. I remember we would go to the Big E in New England, in West Springfield, Massachusetts. It was called the Big E, the Exposition Grounds, and it was the 6-state New England fair. Some of the most heavenly smells at that whole place. Everything fried. Fried everything. I think if you just said, hey, I've got some hay here, they said, hey, we'll fry it for you and you can eat it. Amen. But then we went into the building where the horses were, and the smells were a little different in that building. Amen. But I remember they had the Clydesdales. My goodness, those things are big. I don't know what the biggest one was. I had 12, 1500 pounds. And you know, they'll take a whole team of those and one person who's got the reins that control the bits can move them wherever they want. Few points here. Number one, the bit. Number one, the bit. We put bits in horses' mouths. That little piece of metal, and I remember seeing that before. We lived probably just a couple miles down from a horse farm, and there was some folks that lived right next door to us. They had a horse there, and they'd get on that horse. They didn't just get on them and ride them. They put that bit in their mouth, and you'd see it. I had a Rottweiler years ago, and he was 140 pounds. He was a horse, amen? You could ride him. But I remember when he'd get a little feisty, and he was not a bad dog, but boy, all he had to do is go back into his jowls and bit him a little bit, and he'd obey, and that's the reason. Not only the bit, but number two, we have the besting. Why do we put bits in their mouth? The besting, that they may obey us. This giant creature, this giant horse, one little bit causes the besting. And then what's the byproduct? Number three. So you have the bit, the besting. What's the byproduct? We turn about their whole body. Great quote here from Lehman Strauss. He said, "If a horse is not broken to bit and bridle as a young colt, it will run wild with misdirected strength. The tongue, the small and seemingly insignificant, if left to go unbridled, results in an uncontrolled man." That's why God's giving us this illustration here. Just like the bit controls the horse, our tongue controls what we do. Thirdly tonight, so we have the control of the body. We have the control of the beasts. And then thirdly tonight, in verse 4, we have the control of the boats. Amen. Control of the body, control of the beasts, and control of the boats. Verse 4 says, "Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Four things here. We see, first of all, the size. It says, "the ships which be so great." I believe, if I remember correctly, the Titanic, if you were to stack it up, if you were to turn it upright, it was 10 stories tall. That's a big boat. Amen? That's big. And we know, now, good gracious, they're even bigger. Carrie and I went to Hawaii in 2006, and I remember we're driving right along Waikiki Beach, and we're driving, and there was one of those cruise ships that was parked. I believe it had 5 decks. I looked at the thing, and I realized it was actually sitting in the water, and it was still incredible. Size of the ships. Secondly, notice the savage. Not only the size, but the savage. It says, "and are driven of fierce winds." Where Carrie lived when we first met, she lived in a place called Newport News, Virginia. How many of you know that area of Virginia? Newport News, Norfolk, amen. And it's a place where a lot of times hurricanes will come right up the east coast, and they'll kind of lodge there for a little bit, and then they'll go off. And she told me, when they get a hurricane warning, they send the ships out to sea that they're building there that they built in the area there. And I asked her, I said, "Why do they do that?" She said, "So they don't end up on the mall." Yeah. Amen. It's a good reason. And what they do is they set out and they drop anchor, and those winds blow and move and all that, and there they are. The size of the ships, the savage. Thirdly, the smallness. Every one of the ships that we've been discussing, there's just a captain, and there he is. One little steering wheel. One little helm. One little rudder. The smallness. Number four, the skipper. It's turned with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. The control of boats. What's the control of boats? One little small thing controls the whole boat. That gigantic boat is controlled by one small thing. That gigantic animal, that horse, is controlled by one small little thing. James' illustrations are plain. Little things, bit and rudder, can and do control large things, horse and ship. Amen? Just like the bit controls the bit is little and the horse is big. Just like the rudder controls the ship, the rudder is little and the horse is big. So it is with the tongue. Though very little, when bridled, controls the whole mature man. Now folks, I have to tell you, as we close, this is a convicting portion of Scripture. Is it not? Listen, I want to be a mature Christian. I want to be maturing. And the key to that is for me to say, Lord, help me to bridle my tongue. Pastor Donald came into my office today and he was talking about something that happened online between a couple of preachers. And I don't know anything about Twitter. I really don't know what it does. It's just people put up little quotes and things like that. Pastor Donald was telling me about it. And it became this Twitter war. And I said, you know what will cure that, preacher? Ephesians 4:29. You know what Ephesians 4:29 says? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So many times, ladies and gentlemen, we feel like we have to say something. No, we don't. Remember Grandma's advice? Still good. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. Listen, you folks know me. Do we need to contend for truth? Yes. Yes, we do. And sometimes that requires saying something. And sometimes that requires saying it loudly. I'm talking about in our personal relationships as we want to mature and be more like Christ. You know what we need to do? We need to bridle this thing. We're going to learn about it in these next few weeks. There's some not flattering discussions about the tongue in James chapter 3. You know what it says? It says it's set on fire of hell. All the more reason why we that have the Spirit of God in us need to bridle our tongues. Little things can control big things. Amen. Let's make it our business to bridle our tongue. Not somebody else's. You need to bridle your tongue. No, let's bridle our own. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings. Lord, thank you for the privilege to have the Word of God that gives us such important lessons. Lord, help us, Lord, to speak kind words. Lord, to bridle these tongues that we have. Lord, to use these tongues to tell others about you. Bless, Lord, tonight. We think of our beloved June tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd please be with her, be with her family. Lord, help us as we seek to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. How about page 291, ladies? Amen.